It's fair to say the Grammy-winning folk and bluegrass pioneer is one of the best multi-instrumentalists on the planet, a master of guitar, fiddle, mandolin, bazooka, and mandocello. In other words, Tim O'Brien is an entire rhythm section unto himself, also a band leader, songwriter, vocalist, mentor, and producer. On January 6th, so just before the Telluride Bluegrass Festival, Tim and his wife, Jen Fabricius, plan to release a new album on their Howdy Skies record, the title, Paper Flowers. The event marks their first official album as a duet, though, as Festivarians know very well, Jen has stood by her men on solo records and on tour, including as a regular on the main stage at the Telluride Bluegrass Festival, with a couple returns after missing last year's happening, to perform again on Friday, June 20th with the Tim O'Brien Band. This is Susan Vibrock, Telluride Inside and Out. Delighted to be talking once again with Tim and Jan. Thanks for taking the time, you guys.
It's great to be with you again, Susan.
Hello, Susan.
Thanks, Jan. So let's start with breaking news, Tim, Paper Flowers. The latest release has been described by insiders as introspective, beautiful, soulful. But how do you describe your upcoming release?
Well, this is Jen and my first full collaboration together. We've collaborated. She's been sort of the side man or side person, I guess, on previous recordings. Singer, and now she's a partner on this one, and her name's on the release and everything. And it's songs that we've written together. So it's kind of a new step.
Okay. So, Jen, as Tim said, and we said in our introduction, this is your first album as a duet, but could you please share how and when it all began for the two of you? And I mean the album. Not the life together, the album.
The album has come about when we got asked to write a song with Tom Paxton so that it could be released on an album called Bluegrass Sings Paxton. And we got on the Zoom with Tom Paxton and we wrote it a song called You Took Me In that got on that album. And from there, we have had pretty regular Zoom writing sessions with Tom. And I counted the other day and we've written 28 songs with him. I guess been a year and a half. So there we were with a pile of songs, good songs, and more than you can put on an album. Plus, Tim and I had put two on there that we co-wrote together. And so we went into the studio to put this record together. And we had 14 tracks. We thought we were done with the record. And a month went by, we had already been in the studio, and we had two more sessions with Tom and wrote two more songs with him. Paper Flowers is one of them, and Always a Sunrise. And they were so good that we went back into the studio and recorded them, and then we had more songs than a record could hold, but we couldn't hardly decide which one to take off of there. But does it have 15...
It's 15 tracks. We actually recorded 16, and we left one alone. We considered leaving a couple off, but we liked them all, and we ended up with 15 tracks.
Yeah, so that's how that's kind of how it all started, and we're still writing some good ones. We can put out a
paper. You could put out Paper Flowers too.
That's
right. Yeah, we could.
Okay. Oh, we understand that your love story, or at least that's my understanding from reading pretty extensively on Paper Flowers, that your love story is the leitmotif of the release. But can you comment on that? Is that how you see it?
Well, you know, I'll let Tim say what he wants to say, but it wasn't really planned that way. But when we started looking at the way it all laid out, there was bits and pieces of some of the stories that were part of our life as it goes here, like the armadillo. There really was an armadillo in our yard, and it just ended up, there's one on on there called The Father of the Bride, which we wrote for my granddaughter's wedding. And so it just kind of did in a little bit of a way tell the story of our lives.
The title track is kind of a story, describes our courtship. And I actually did send Jan some paper flowers and a postcard and stuff early on. And we still have those in a little vase in the, on a mantle in the living room. And, you know, it's that song kind of reaches back to the beginnings of our time together.
Yeah, it does. And then what he did on the postcard, he wrote one for you and one for me and one for the miles in between. And he had written that down on a paper. And he found that paper, and he'd also added, asked my brother Moon, asked my sister Sky, onto that paper. And he brought that to our writing session. And it's something that had been sitting there for 13 years or whatever it is.
So, you know, we've been, we started out traveling together. Before Jan started singing on stage, we traveled together. Gigs together and road trips and that kind of thing. There's a road trip song. There's songs about a woman musician, I Look Good in Blue. There's, you know, songs about our day-to-day life. There's one, Tom got on the Zoom session one day and said, I've been thinking about this song all week. I want to write it. And it's driving me crazy. It's about a guy who loves his wife dearly, but all he does is complain about her. So we wrote a song called This Gal of Mine. And then in the morning, as is the case, after we've written a song, we listened back to it again the next morning. And Jan said, you know, I think I need a rebuttal on this. So she wrote her side, wrote some more on it. And so it's sort of a, you know, a back and forth a couple kind of complaining about each other, but also professing their love. So it's kind of, you know, it's, I think it's lighthearted. The record is kind of lighthearted, but it does touch on some things. There's, you know, we had the Covenant School shootings 2 years ago here in Nashville, and we ended up writing a song about that. Imagine being parents of one of the, you know, the victims there, one of the casualties. And, you know, a song about getting old together and moving and finding old mementos and that kind of thing called Yellow Hat. And then there's just, you know, one about waking up early and bringing Jan coffee. That's how the movie ends.
Okay, that was called Here With Me, and Tim wrote it by himself, and it's the last song on the record, and it's absolutely beautiful.
But there's a lot of life stuff. You know, we just got a puppy dog, and we actually have a song about fat pile of puppies, you know, the fear of falling in love with a puppy. And I think it's one of my favorite songs on the record.
The other day she was chewing on Tim's ear. Her name's Nellie. And just like in the song, he said, and you're chewing on my ear. Falling in love with my fear.
Fat pile of puppies chewing on my ear. Falling in love is what I fear. I can't be angry.
Yeah, I can't.
That pile of puppies makes me.
Yeah, totally relate to that. Thematically, each of your albums releases have had a kind of distinctive personality. Red on Blonde, you know, the Dylan composition, Grammy-winning Fiddler's Green, Celebration of Appalachian Music and Celtic Roots, Pompadour, a kind of breakup record. After all that you've just said about Paper Flowers, what would you say its subtext is, its theme? Either one of you.
It's kind of a situation comedy.
Okay, a sitcom.
Yeah, you know, there's one on there, and it's a single coming out soon, Hungry Heart. And it's kind of about, you know, maybe there's the father's away working from the family and sending money home, and maybe it's in the Depression days, and the family calls
Dad calls in from wherever he is trying to find work. He calls in once a week and together around. Mm-hmm. His voice on the telephone, and it's, you know.
The setting's in Kansas, which is where I'm from, but, you know, mm-hmm. I send it to a good friend, and she was in that situation. Her dad was a roughnecker in the oil field and wasn't home very much at all. And she just wrote back and said she had, it just made her cry. So, you know, some songs are, you know, touchy-feely, and that can be a good thing. People can relate to,
you know,
certain things.
We really benefited greatly from this production by having an incredible co-writer named Tom Paxton.
Yes.
He's just, he's really such a wonderful, you know, a venerable guy, and to have that access and have the relationship that's developed is really golden. And,
yeah.
That's one of the great things about this project, I think, is the writing. I'm really, really proud of the writing.
Some of the phrases that he adds are just meant to be and so poignant, and just, it just fits all right in. Tim does most of the composition with the melodies and the music part of it. And, of course,
you know, it's funny. I never tried to write songs via Zoom, but it's proven to work. I'm amazed.
Okay, so thematically, this is sort of the Zoom couple release.
Yeah.
I guess that's right. We're dealing with that. Paxton. He writes a lot.
Okay. So, Tim, looking back over, I don't know how many, 40-plus years I know, playing Telluride Bluegrass Festival as Tim and as Red Knuckles, could you talk about a few of the many highlights?
Well, you know, it starts with just going there and meeting people like Sam Bush and his group, and people like Steve Goodman and John Artford and Norman Blake and all these people that became... you know, it's like finding your tribe, really, going to Telluride.
Mm-hmm.
And here's that became, it existed not just at Telluride, it existed at other festivals where we'd be booked, and we'd be a certain strata among the other entertainers that sort of saw eye to eye about how music can be and what it can be, how it should be, I guess, or, you know, what we were aiming for. Sort of traditional minded, but progressive in another way, you know, just kind of updating things. But, you know, a lot of the collaborations over the years, it's always been, Telluride's always been the place where I try to unveil a new set of music or a new collaboration, whether it's with my sister Molly or whether it's with Daryl Scott or with Dirk Powell and John Herman or with Scott Nygaard and Mark Schatz. That was probably about 1991.
Mm-hmm.
That was the beginning of my career. And so, you know, and then there's, you know, there was a year where Newgrass Revival had sort of splintered, and I got to guest with them as they kind of put something back together. They were there to, John Cowan and Sam Bush were there to back up Leon Russell, but they were performing as a duet together, and they had other people sit in. No, actually, yeah, that's right. I was there to help them put a show together. And there's, you know, one of the great memories is playing encores with Steve Goodman whenever he was there. It was always a great party, and he was really a dynamic performer. It just kind of he was a musician's musician, and also as a performer, he was larger than life and sort of, it was an incredible energy that I try to conjure up now and again with, you know, it's hard, but he's a real model to just to hold yourself up to. You know, sitting in with Bonnie Raitt was a highlight. You know, playing with the crowd that sits in with each other, you know, Bela Fleck and Sam Bush and Jerry Douglas and all those people is just really pretty heady stuff.
So, if there's an easy, a soundbite way to sum up, how would you say Telluride Bluegrass and Planet Bluegrass in general has influenced your life and work?
Well, like I say, it's my tribe. Jan, I don't know how you feel about it when you go there, but
yeah.
It's certainly, you know, it was kind of like they put the idea forward and the people came. You know,
right.
You build it and they will come, and we were the people
mm-hmm.
that was
mm-hmm.
meant for.
I first
okay.
went to Rocky 92, and then Telluride. I went in 93 and 94. I've kind of
mm-hmm.
been a festival goer for most of my life. But anyway, the Telluride Festival, the mountains and the whole venue, the whole feel of it. And, you know, I've performed for 8 years now on the stage. And
right.
I also love going back just to see the people, the regulars, the people that are there, and just enjoying the vibe. A lot of festivals we go and we just perform and we have to leave, you know. But at Telluride,
mm-hmm.
we spend the whole 4 or 5 days there and get to take in a lot of the music. And, you know.
We try to get a hike to up to Bear Creek Falls or something like that in while we're there. And
mm-hmm.
and then always a reunion with the Colorado folks. We don't live in Colorado. I don't live in Colorado anymore. I did for 22 years, and
yeah.
so there's
right.
that. It's always pull that reunion that way.
Okay. Okay, and then sort of a parenthetical question. I've been asked this by fans, or I'm assuming fans of yours. Is it challenging to both live and work together? Sort of the 24/7 thing.
Well, we work at it. We definitely work at it, and we respect
yeah.
one another.
Right.
We each have our own office.
Yeah,
that's good.
We do, because in 2020 I made him an office. We took out a bar, and we set him up in there with a computer and a desk, and he has his Pro Tools, and we spend a lot of time in there. But really, we get along pretty good. You know, he just got back from, he does things on his own. You know, he just went to West Virginia, to the West Virginia Music Hall of Fame induction ceremonies, and stayed home. And of course, he's only gone 2 days and we're already missing each other.
Yeah, so we're always, nearly always together, and somehow it works out. But, you know, you just have to learn how to, I guess, stay out of each other's way, and then when the other one needs some help, then you step in.
Yeah.
So it's just
okay.
You know, it's like marriage. It's just a little more. I guess we're just close, maybe just closer. I don't know. So far, so good. You hear the song.
Mm-hmm.
This gal will hear us back
yeah.
and forth
yeah.
about. Oh, he yeah. never shines. And she drinks up all of my wine and back and forth, and then we in the end we say, you know, that you're my gal
and
you're
my
man.
Man,
yeah,
but you know that some of that is true and some of it's not.
It's not all
okay. I guess the answer to that question in part is embedded in Paper Flowers.
That's right.
Yeah,
okay, terrific. This is Susan. Oh, go ahead. Go
yeah.
ahead, Jen.
I said the very first date that Tim and I were on was 11 days long. So, and we did a lot of traveling and had a wonderful time.
Okay.
It was a lot. We read to each other in the car. And
you know, you could say, you know, how do you get along? How do you work it out? I said, well, we share the driving. She's got.
Okay.
She's in charge of some parts of the road, and I'm in charge of other parts of the road.
So I do the tour managing, and we kind of share the household duties. We've got it pretty well figured
yeah,
out.
Got it.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
this is Susan Dubrov, Telluride Inside and Out. I am delighted. I have been delighted to be speaking once again with Tim and Jan. Again, the Tim O'Brien Band returns after a brief miss last year to play on the main stage Friday, June 20th. Again, you guys, thanks for taking time out of your schedule to talk with me.
Thanks for having
me. Thank you, Susan.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.